Hello, today is Monday, February 25th, 2019. I'm Joe Schmidt with TC2, and this is Staying Connected. Lately, we've been outspoken about how the changes taking place at some of the top network service providers, notably Verizon and AT&T, are impacting the enterprise. Why? Because we want to make sure that you're informed about what's happening and help you decide if you need to make some changes in your vendor relationships. Today, I'm joined by my TC2 colleagues, Teresa Knudsen and Brian Carricker, and we're going to discuss how you might want to look at your service support needs with your key suppliers. Teresa and Brian, thanks for joining me. Teresa, let's start with you. Can you tell us what you're seeing out there as a result of the big layoffs and restructurings at many of the service providers that our clients use?
Sure, and thanks, Joe. I guess at TC2, we're always striving to come up with creative solutions to the challenges that our clients face, and we're continuing to see a rapid decline in the support teams from key suppliers. As we've discussed, the suppliers are eliminating personnel in order to drive increased profitability, and we've all heard about these massive layoffs. The impact of these layoff announcements hasn't yet fully been felt by the customers, as a lot of the end dates for the key employees are still rolling into 2019. So keep in mind that suppliers are not cutting salespeople. They know that wouldn't be smart. So where do they cut? In their service support teams. And these cuts make it harder and harder for the wonderful promises that the sales teams make to actually be fulfilled. Our clients are seeing these changes happen now, and they're very concerned. But first, we'll go through and we'll review what the concerns are, and then we'll discuss how to mitigate that risk.
So, Brian, presumably you're also seeing the things that Teresa just talked about.
You know, Joe, 100% agree with her. Sales teams are driven to improve their top lines. Companies are pressed to drive savings. Support teams are often the ones that are driven and pushed to take the reductions, as Teresa said, and then customer relationships are strained. There's an obvious difference between the sales team and the support team inside these large carriers. As a big deal's constructed, sales teams negotiate terms, SLAs, and as Teresa said, they make promises. Once the ink's applied to the contracts, the account teams really back off and the support teams are left to carry out these commitments, adhere to these stringent SLAs, and then keep the promises made by the support teams. And the sales teams really operated and were involved for 6 months, and these contracts last for 3 to 5 years that the support teams are left with. Now, during the negotiations, most of the times we see that support teams aren't brought in until the very end, and we push to have those organizations included early in the process. It's not an uncommon occurrence that we see a slick presentation where an account team and a support team are sitting together to have the support team look over and say, I don't know how we're going to do that, to have the account team say, we'll work it out. It's no good. This impacts the incident management. It impacts SLA adherence. It impacts billing and financing. You need to know ahead of time, how is the operations organization going to be engaged? How quickly are high-level engineers going to engage during critical outages? How are SLAs going to be measured? Are we going to use your tool or our tool? You know, you need to know about billing and reporting. How is that going to be carried out? How are billing issues going to be resolved? How long is it going to take to resolve a billing issue? Often clients are directed to portals now. You know, we talk about how to engage. Well, you engage by the portal. You engage by the portal for incident tickets, to get updates on your incident ticket, how to receive your SLA reports, billing disputes, submit them to the portal. We're even seeing these account teams, Joe and Teresa, and I'm sure you've seen it, where the account teams are directing customers and clients to the portal to submit circuit orders and upgrades.
So, you know, both of you have warned about this changing dynamic on previous podcasts, so it shouldn't really be a surprise, but I guess what matters is what enterprises need to do to maintain top-notch support of their information communication technology. So, Teresa, do enterprises have to just accept that they won't get much support from their service providers unless they want to pay for the support teams?
Well, I guess that's the big question, you know, should you pay for the support or not? And so, as you know, everything is subject to negotiation, so it kind of depends on where you're at in the life cycle of these contracts. So if you're fortunate enough to be doing an RFP right now, make sure to document what you expect from your support team, everything from incident management, SLAs, billing, financial reporting issues, all the things that Brian mentioned. And don't invite the suppliers to provide a price for this requirement. So if you indicate, hey, we have these requirements and here's a blank to fill in for the price, then you know there will be a price. But put the requirements in and set the expectation that the bidder should factor these support obligations into the unit prices of the services that they're bidding to win. So that's an RFP situation. So if you're midterm in your service contract and you're experiencing a decline or even evaporation of the support from your suppliers, whether it's free or you're paying for it today, discuss with your supplier account executives. Make it known. They need to hear from you directly about your experiences and your dissatisfaction. The short-term solution is to request that underperforming support staff be replaced. There are definitely excellent support personnel out there. We've all seen them and experienced them and know how great they can be, so they're just getting harder and harder to find. So express your concerns to your executive team and demand action to solve the problem now. So if going forward the new reality is you have to actually pay for the supplier's employees to support your account, make sure that you specify in your contract what your support requirements are and document what you expect from a reasonably competent account team. If you have to pay for this basic support, so keep in mind much of the support is fixing problems or mistakes that the vendors make in the first place, you shouldn't be stuck in a bad arrangement for longer than you want and have to continue to pay for it. So include concepts in the contract that include escalations when the account team is failing to meet expectations, the rights to approve key personnel, and then a quick way to pull the plug if things are going wrong. Suppliers shouldn't insult you by forcing you to continue to pay for an account team that isn't doing the job to your expectations.
So, Brian, do you have anything that you want to add to that?
Teresa lays that out perfectly. Support teams are a support layer or a layer that's inserted between what a vendor does in their standard process and what you want. However, there's some critical questions that I would interject as well that you need to ask about these support teams, and that is, does this role that I'm being asked to pay for create a service for our enterprise? Or is it required to clean up something that the carrier does wrong? As Teresa said, you should not be paying for support failures and to correct carrier issues. For example, we know that carriers are very siloed. Most organizations are. But when you have an incident management team that you're having to pay for, and 80% of the work that they do is to correct issues, implementation issues from the prior weekend that went wrong, something's wrong there. If a carrier implements something wrong, you ought not be paying for an incident management team to clean up their mess. Second area that we see a lot, and that is billing. Billing accuracy is a big deal, and it's overlooked by most of our clients. We see this with our new clients specifically, but rates, terms, overages, fees, taxes, on and on and on. These things make our bills, our telecommunications bills, so complicated. And they're so complicated that even the carriers don't really understand all of it most of the time. If you bring these billing issues to their attention, 9 times out of 10, they're going to want to add somebody to your support organization to drive billing accuracy. Who's going to pay for that? They're going to want you to pay for it.
Yeah, and I think as a general rule of thumb, if you have a transport-only deal, the vendor should provide a service manager to do these basic billing and accuracy checks for you at no charge. So I guess my only closing advice, if you do have a good account manager or service support manager, make sure you do everything you can to hold on to them and make sure you're praising them to the executive team. But conversely, if you have somebody who's really failing to meet your expectations, have them replaced, because we do know there's some good folks out there. So please, you know, do what you can now to improve your service.
Okay, so Brian, why don't you take the last word? Do you have any final thoughts?
I mean, we know that right now is a critical time in our organizations. Things are changing fast. There's pressure everywhere. You have to remember, as Teresa laid out, you need to reserve and preserve the right to approve key personnel assigned to your account, and you need to document everything that you require in your contract. Understanding your contract is critical. Understanding your new contract is critical. And understanding their differences is a must. You have to know what you're going to get. You have to know what you ordered, and then ensure that you receive it.
Okay, thanks again, guys, for joining me and providing this really useful insight. If you'd like to learn more about how to mitigate your risk of support issues with your key suppliers, or if you have other ICT needs, you can contact Teresa, Brian, me, or any of our TC2 and LB3 colleagues by giving us a call or shooting us an email. You can also stay current by checking out our websites or follow us on LinkedIn.